Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. I mean, it's summertime in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, what's not to be wonderful? I mean, we're in Texas, first of all. That's the first part. We could be in other crazy places.
That's right. Thank the Lord we're not.
I know. And there's a lot of crazy places to be these days.
I know. And they're opening up all these new places. There are restaurants by the dozen.
Yeah.
And then I hear a lot of our barbecue places are closing. Meat's gotten so high.
Oh.
So I don't know which way to believe. But that tells me to eat all the barbecue you can while you can.
Yeah, eat it now.
Because... That's right, apparently. But there's a lot of restaurants opening. I'm hearing about all these, especially where I live, you know, things I'd never heard of. Some of them are Chinese. Some of them are all kinds of foreign things that sound good.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds interesting.
I think there's at least four restaurants opening in Flower Mound, which is just a short distance.
Oh, wow. That's a...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Flower Mound is a gigantic
metropolis. No, it's not.
Four?
And,
that's a big
deal. They were talking about, and everybody said, this one's the best. I can't wait for this one. Had good reviews about... they knew the restaurant and that it was going to... Oh, one of them is a dumpling place.
Ooh.
Chinese dumplings.
Well, that sounds interesting and fancy.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
They're fancy. We don't know what the price is, but that was one of the places. But they named several that sounded really good.
Wow. I mean, it's nice to see new things coming in. It's always fun to try some new things. But, boy, I'm still sad. When any barbecue place closes, boy, that just makes me sad, because that's the kind of thing that runs through our blood. And we've got the best in the world.
So. We do. Texas has the best of everything, but especially barbecue.
Yes.
And they said that there were several mentioned that were closing. Said the meat had just gotten too high.
Wow.
I can't imagine that. I mean, wouldn't Texas beef be better than ordinate, you know, from Nebraska or Utah or somewhere?
I would think so. I mean, we have no shortage of meat here. I don't, it's almost like we should be known as the meat state in my brain, because we have so much of it. And I don't know. That's kind of, it's kind of strange. It seems like we shouldn't have the expenses to import it from other places that other states do.
We shouldn't, because we've got lots and lots of cattle, great cattle, huge ranches. Did you read where that ranch in South Texas, the people sold it to the state? And I don't want to get this wrong, but I think it's 53,000 acres.
Whoa!
It will be the second biggest park in Texas.
Oh,
and
my word.
This one park ranger said, I haven't even traveled the whole thing.
Yeah.
He said he's just been out to a little bit at a time. And I go, 53,000 acres?
Jeez.
And somebody was criticizing the people, said, you know, you sold it to the state and you got paid all this money. Well, they've owned it all their life. In their parents' life, their grandparents' life, and they've been a good keeper of the land. So whoever they sold it to, I don't think they should be criticized.
Yeah. I mean, what I don't understand what the downside of that is. So
there isn't, because look at the thousands and thousands of Texans that will go there to study different things.
Yeah.
And you know there'll be university students studying a lot of things on these big ranches.
Huh. I mean, it just seems like, you know, it's a great opportunity for just about everybody. So I don't know. Maybe I don't know all the facts. I didn't see that before. So it's brand new. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
there's
they just
there,
announced
but,
it.
Wow. I'm kind of shocked.
It took several years, I understand, to put it together. And it did not tell what they paid for this wonderful park.
Oh, my word. I can't even imagine. I mean, 53,000 acres? That would be...
Yes.
That didn't come cheap, I'm sure. I would think, anyway.
And I imagine they had it in a trust, because the taxes would be exorbitant.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be out of the park. But, boy, that amount of land for people to access now, it just seems like a good thing on the surface. So
I think it is going to be a wonderful thing. They'll have camping. They'll probably have cabins. They'll have fishing. You know, I mean, it'll be a glorious place to visit.
Yeah.
You talk about all the city folks that have never been in the country. This would be great for them to learn about nature.
Yeah, it really would. And we've got so much land, and we have so many different types of climates just in the state alone. It just
That's
seems,
exactly right.
You know, I mean, it's another thing that people can enjoy, and it's another thing that I don't know what the status, the stats are, but I would imagine probably just based on the amount of land that's in the state alone, I would imagine there's probably not another state in the country that has as many parks that people can visit as we do. I'm just guessing.
I don't think there is either, because our parks have everything.
Yeah.
I mean, every kind of flower. You know, we've got the Guadalupe Mountains. You know, we've got bears. And I mean, no telling what all is down there.
I know it. It sounds wonderful. That's fantastic. And then we've got, what is it? What's that? The park that's been, what we've been building for, what is it, a couple years? Is it, what is it, Universal? Is it?
Oh, yes. Universal Park is like Disneyland, but it's supposed to be a lot different. And it's opening on July the 1st, $50 a head, season ticket for $130, and it's supposed to have everything. The brochures are gorgeous.
Yeah.
I don't know what reality is, but it's in Frisco. You know, it's in a great location. Not heavy traffic. It's right off the toll road. And it's right off the North Dallas toll road. And I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, we have so many things that are already existing for like people to come into the state to experience, but also us like residents, people who live here. But it's like, you know, you've got like touristy things, you've got parks with like all these built up, you know, themes and all these things. And then you've got nature. And it just seems like we have so many different, it's like both ends of the spectrum of things to do right here without ever leaving the state. And as we go into summer months, having more things to do, it's just, I mean, it seems wonderful, not only for state dollars, but for experiences, family trips, vacations, all of it just seems great.
And, you know, you can camp out, you can do cabins, you can do the ocean. I mean, Texas has so many different things. You can do Paldera Canyon, which is a great place. Everybody should go there at least once and see the production of Texas, as well as walk the canyons. And, you know, the Indians lived there many, many thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
So that's a great place. We've got lakes that are just divine. You know, the lakes have got bass, they've got crappie, they've got everything. And East Texas has some fabulous, fabulous lakes.
Yeah.
And we have some, you know, in South Texas, but not as many. In Central Texas, we have a lot of lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And people use all these lakes, boating, cabins, you know. And then we've got resorts. Look at all the resorts we've got in Texas.
I know it. I know it.
I mean, you've got the one by San Antonio. You've got the one by past Fort Worth down here. I've always heard a lot of good things about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think there's more. And I don't know what other states are doing because I don't keep up with them, but it just seems like the growth that we have going on here seems to be outpacing any other location or state or territory in the country by a long shot. I mean, they're even moving parts of Hollywood out here. So
that's right. And do you realize how many movies are being made right now in Texas? South Lake, they shut down their streets the other day. They're always shutting down Fort Worth. But at downtown main streets and other locations, they've shut down a shopping center the other night.
Oh, wow, really?
Oh, I mean, they're making so many movies. It's just insane.
Yeah.
And there's so many actors have come to Texas, and they're not going back to Hollywood. They're buying ranches, they're buying luxury homes, because they love the way we live.
Yeah.
They love this slower pace, and they don't rob you here, you know?
That's true.
I mean, the prices are not that bad at all.
I mean, out there where they came from, I mean, it's kind of...
it's Weirdsville.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
Weirdsville.
Weirdsville.
I mean, you never know what you'll see in California.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they'll find a new tax, or they'll burn down your trees, your house, and catch fire. I mean, it's a tough place, folks.
It is.
And all these people that have moved said they wish they'd done it earlier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how can you?
The taxes were just exorbitant.
Oh, geez. They out there, they taxed you to, I mean, they tax you out of house and home, really, when it comes down to it. And then, you know, out here, it's just, you know, I mean, it'd be nice if we didn't pay any, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. But, you know, you have great land, you have great, depending on where you go, you know, because there's different climates in the state, but, you know, we have, you know, you can spread out, you can go places, you can do things, and there's all kinds of, you know, just entertainment, food, you know, tourist
things.
And
we don't have crime like other places.
Yes.
I mean, we don't have, like New York City. You're taking your life in your hands to get on the subway.
Yes.
They'll kill you just for sport.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a game for people. They don't even need a reason. And so
they've got more criminals than they know what to do with.
I know it. So on a Saturday morning, it's nice to just kind of reflect and think about where we are right now.
That's right. What we've accomplished, what we hope to accomplish, and life is good.
Exactly. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And a gentleman called me this week. He swears that the 800 number wasn't working, but we tried it. We tried calling it every way you can, and it was working. And they answered.
Huh.
So I don't know what was wrong. I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, he would say it was not working when it is.
I don't know.
He thought it wasn't.
Maybe it was a misdial.
That's what everybody tells me. Hmm. Because I call the offices and ask everybody. I said, have you had any trouble with the 800 number? And they said no.
Hmm.
I just don't understand it.
They might have wrote it down wrong. Who knows?
That's what everybody swears he did.
Yeah.
And he's such a nice gentleman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, whenever you get a call like that, it's always important to check it, and you did. And so sometimes you find out. How did you find out that the phone, did he call and say that the phone wasn't working?
Well, he called and was talking about putting their money with me. And we were talking about it, and he said, I had the hardest time getting hold of you. He said, I couldn't make the 800 number work. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I called it four times. So what could he have been doing?
I don't know. I assume like the fifth time worked. It must have for him to call through.
Or call the regular numbers.
Well, that could be. I don't know.
I mean, nobody ever does. Everybody always calls the 800 number.
Yeah.
But anyway, very nice gentleman. I think they're going to be a new client.
Oh, wow. Cool. What was? Yeah. Are they?
He said he'd been listening to us for years and years.
Really?
Is
like retirement coming up close, or what sparked him to call?
I think they're getting some money out of a settlement.
Oh, wow. Neat. Because I know that there's different like things that will happen in people's lives, you know, whether it's, you know, they're, you know, approaching retirement or, I don't know, maybe they lost money in some other kind of thing, or like in this case, maybe some kind of a, you know, some sudden unexpected money comes in. Some people have inheritance, you know, there's all kinds of reasons that people call and they start. But he's been listening for years to you.
For years and years, yes.
Wow. That's fantastic then. That's wonderful.
That's right.
Are there, okay, so what are the, I want to ask you about the big policy that we've been talking about, but I, if there's anything else big, major that happened this week, by all means, prioritize however you want to.
Well, we're working on a lot of policies. They're short term, got good premiums, and I'm hoping to hear something next week.
Great. Wonderful.
So we've moved on. And we're just working on new policies now.
Lots of opportunities then for people.
There are a lot of opportunities. A person can do so much in life settlements, 50% in annuities, or they can do all in one or the other. And of course, the annuities have got that bonus still, and I'm thankful every day for that. That 16% is a lot of money. When you think about getting that, remember, that's $160,000 on 100.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's a big deal. You have, I mean, it's just anytime you have.
Okay. I said a million, didn't I?
I think so. But I think I knew what you
sure
were talking about.
I said
about.
A million. Okay.
I did the math in my head. So,
okay.
Yeah, I do. But anytime you have an investment and you make money, people will take that as, like, great, we made money, awesome. But to have 16% extra on top of it, it's just...
It's really great.
It is. I mean,
we've come a long way on annuities.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started doing annuities, they paid a fixed rate. They didn't have indexes. They didn't have bonuses. It was a long, long time before they ventured into indexes and found out it would make the clients a lot more money, and they started doing them, and then they started doing small bonuses, and now look where we are, 16% bonus, and it's a great deal, because not only do you get that up front, then at the end of the year, they give you your interest and post it, so you've made, it's kind of like double dipping that first year.
Yeah.
And then if you add money to it the second, third year, you get paid for that too. You get another 16% for every year for 3 years. So that's really, I think, a great opportunity for anyone.
Yeah. And you say that they, what do they average? 10%?
Well,
what is it?
Over 10 years, they've averaged 10%.
I mean, you can't beat that for...
Because they give us the figures and show us what each year made. Some years made a lot more, some made a lot less, but it averaged out to 10%.
Wow. And that's just doing nothing. I mean, people
that's
don't,
right.
You don't
it's
have
a
to.
Passive income.
Ah,
passive
yes.
Income.
That's a good way to put it. Passive income. Exactly.
Yes.
It's mailbox money.
It is mailbox money. And what I love about annuities, it's tax deferred until you take it out. That's the best thing going. You're not paying taxes every year, only when you start taking it out. And usually you're in a lower tax bracket then,
mm-hmm,
because you're older. So that works out real good.
Wow.
And if the stock market goes down, the annuity just sits there. It does not go down. It's got that stop gap in it where it stops it. It may not make any money that day or that week, but it won't lose any either.
Yeah, and that's the important part is, you know, having that stopgap there, people don't have to worry about getting up in the middle of the night, checking their portfolio. They don't have to worry about, do I have anything left? Did I lose everything overnight? You know, what's going to happen? You protect your principal, and that's always been key to successful investing, and there's not a lot of opportunities out there that at least I can think of off the top of my head where you can actually protect your principal. It, in many cases, it's all or nothing. Or
that's right. And, of course, if the stock market goes down, you don't know what it'll come back at.
Yeah.
So it's good to have an annuity that holds fast. And we're never directly in the stock market. That's another thing. How many people can say if they bought stocks that they're not in the danger zone every day?
Exactly. Yeah, you're in the line of fire, and anything can happen at any moment. And we've seen it happen literally in seconds.
That's right. It didn't take about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And, you know, people get out of here, and they get excited. Somebody touts them on a stock, and they just have to have it.
Oh, yeah.
But lots of times they don't have a record. You know, they don't have a long record of stability, of always going up.
Yeah.
But people take a lot of risk.
They do.
And I don't know what to say about that. I mean,
I mean,
you know.
I understand you're trying to be respectful of people's decisions.
I am, because let me tell you something. If it was my husband and he did it, we would be having words.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's easy to get, you know, on that high and just, you know, it feeds itself of the excitement of, oh, wow, you know, we made X amount this week or this month or whatever it is, or today, or, you know, anything like that. And it's just like, well, let's do it again. It's that is literally what makes Vegas so popular and so successful. It's almost addicting. But then what happens is the more people get blindsided by, you know, daily wins, weekly wins, monthly wins, they start to get that invincible feeling. And then they start to, you know, the risks get a little bit bigger. And it's just like, let's put it a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, boom, without any warning, people go and, you know, the bottom falls out and it pancakes on a particular morning. And then, you know, I mean, I still remember, you know, 2008. And I think a lot of people still reference that.
Well, a lot of people had to come to Jesus meeting.
Yeah,
you know, they learned real fast where their problem lied, and they had to get on the fast train to try to save their portfolios.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a mad scramble for a while, and it took some people years.
I had people coming to me crying. Mm-hmm. Some of them, in fact, one family I'll never forget, they had just invested an extra $50,000 that week, and when it crashed, they did a free fall.
Yeah,
and they came and brought me all their money, and said, "Never again. Mm-hmm. We can't take the stress of this."
Yeah,
and it was a great stress. There's no doubt about it.
Oh my word! Yes, I mean, I still remember stories of people who were either close to retirement who all of a sudden couldn't retire, or people who were retired had to go back to work. Because they literally lost everything. And
that's right. And a lot of the people that came to me, they just didn't understand that it could happen in an instant. They thought, you know, that everything was long term, that they didn't have that much risk. But in the stock market, you always have risk.
Exactly.
It's never 100%
yeah.
Safe or profitable.
Exactly. And so when people, you know, at least take some, I mean, I'm sure you're probably not encouraging people to take everything because, you know, you can, I mean, they have their choice, but it would be advisable for many people to, if they have made money recently in the stock market, take some of that and at least do something to make sure that you've got some kind of a secure conservative type of investment where you don't have to worry about, you know, losing things overnight, because we know it can happen. It's a very real possibility. We've seen it. It's happened in our lifetime. You know, we don't even have to go back to, say, like 1929 to read about it. We've experienced it, and many people have forgotten. And so, you know, if people are riding high and making money, or they've had some other situation, maybe they've, you know, are close to retiring, or maybe they've got to cash out their 401k or whatever it is, taking some of that and creating some kind of a conservative investment would be advisable, just to avoid having to lose everything, I would imagine.
That's right. You never want to have a deal where if that's all you've got in the world, don't risk it all. I mean, that's too much stress.
Exactly. And so for anybody who maybe has never done a life settlement, maybe people are in a situation kind of like the gentleman you talked to this week. Maybe they've been, you know, doing something and all of a sudden they're having that thought of, it might be time to do something conservative, or they've had some money come in and let's do something conservative with this. What makes a life settlement such a better type of conservative investment than, say, like stock market or real estate or anything else?
Well, you don't have the risk. First, again, it's an insurance policy. And insurance policies are about as safe as you can get. These insurance companies are huge. They've been in business 60 years to 100. Ours just happens to be 100. And what that tells you is they're so big, they can cover you at all times. Doesn't matter how much of investment you've got, you're covered. And we've never had an insurance company that we've dealt with not pay promptly, not pay the interest they say they'll pay. And when you get ready to cash in, they'll cash it in. Some insurance companies make you take a payout even after the contract's ended. Ours don't. They'll say, okay, the contract is ended, you can take 100%. But most people take 4% a year because we have people that found out they were taking too much and the taxes were too high. So they've cut that down. Then I've got people that have always taken a small amount and they figured out they needed like $30,000 or $40,000 a year, and that's what they're taking because they don't need any more. Then I've got people that don't need any for 4 or 5 years. One of them is still working, so they've got good income, and 5 years from now, they'll probably start taking a monthly or annual income, which is great, but they're going to remember it's compound interest, it's tax deferred till you take it out. You can change beneficiaries at any time, and it's never directly in the stock market. And so then we go back to the other life settlements, and the good things about them are the fact that, again, it's a life insurance policy. Your income is guaranteed off of it. You're going to get whatever it says. At the end of the contract, you get paid. And that means when they die, you get your money, you get your interest. And it takes about a month, usually, to get the checks. You know, we had 5 or 6 million pay off a month ago.
Yes.
And that's a lot in 1 month.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of policies come due. All but one were on time. One was late. The others were on time.
You know, and that's part of it. It's you know, we're talking about a policy that's maturing. And so it's not like there's a specific date, but the information that you have, the data, the LE reports that you have, it's a very, very, very educated prediction. It's not like somebody flipped a coin and said, I don't know, let's give this one 18 months.
That's right. And we use all the doctor reports, the lab reports, all the reports that we can get, and we read those, and sometimes they're just not any good. We passed on a couple this week. One, she'd had a couple of years, and it looked okay on the outside. But then it talked about her exercise.
Ah.
When they're exercising, they can't be very far along.
Yeah.
And then we have the people that have esophagus cancer. They barely make it 18 months. Some of these cancers are really, really serious.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up not only the data, the facts, but also their lifestyle as well. You know, you talk all the time.
It has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had somebody that they had them on 2 or 3 kinds of cancer treatments. They were getting so weak they had to take them off.
Oh.
So sometimes you can't take what they want to give you. So it has to be changed and changed.
Wow. It's just, you know, there's so much data that's involved with, and this really kind of goes back to even the bidding process. When you're looking at a policy and deciding, is this something that we even want to bid on? You go through a lot of data. And then when people, like investors, once you get the policy, the investors can look at pretty much the same data and decide, okay, yeah, I see the same thing.
We condense it down for them.
Yeah.
You know? We give them a scenario at the last and say, okay, this is how many months it is. These are the cancer medications they're on. Here's the blood work. Here is the cholesterol, blood pressure. Everything we have, we're going to give them. We're going to tell them how long they've had it, how many months they're going to give them, what the profit is.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked about profit on those. And the profit, let's say it says 24%. That's what you'll get at the end. Or it may be 30, you know, depending how sick they are and how what they're willing to sell it for in order to get the help. Sometimes people come, They think it's going to bring a lot more than it does. So nobody buys it. 6 months later, they bring it back to the market and nobody will touch it. They
Wow.
didn't take it that first time at what we thought was reasonable and would give them enough money to get them through this.
Yeah. And
So it's really important.
it is. And that profit margin, I mean, you've got, I don't want to call it a die-hard threshold, but you're looking at about 1% a month. And so if it's, stop me if I do this the wrong way. I'm trying to summarize what you always say, but I'm not going to
But
do
we're
it as good as
paying
you.
more than 1% a month. But we do pay at least 1% a month, but we've always paid over that.
Yeah. So if, say, you know, pretend it's a 24-month policy. That means people will
Okay.
get about one or a little over 1% a month, which means 24% profit. But if the policy matures in 18, they still get the full 24%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's never discounted if it matures early. So I mean, it's based on science, it's based on facts, it's not based on guesses and rumors.
And lab work and
Yeah.
doctors seeing you in person.
Exactly. Yeah. And they
And
have
then
a
the
lot
doctor
of.
makes the determination how long he thinks you've got. If it's terminal, if it isn't terminal, we can't do it. Our people don't want one that might survive.
Yeah. And that's by design. I mean, there's you'll see the TV commercials all the time that will say, you know, oh, we'll buy your policy, and then you can go and, you know, travel the world and play with the grandkids and whatever. And the people are smiling and laughing and having a good time. Those are not the policies that you're buying. They're not designed to. You're not buying policies that may mature in 20 years.
No,
That's
I
not
get
your.
some every week. They'll say 96 months.
Oh my!
I mean, gosh, I
Oh,
don't know who they're talking to,
wow!
but
They don't
it's
know
not
you
me. They don't know me real well.
well. You're not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
No, never.
Wow!
It's bad enough when they tell me 48 months.
Yeah,
You know, that scares me.
that's pushing
That's
it.
right. Yeah, they can scare me on a lot of their information.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we could talk to all these doctors or the lab people, whoever we need to.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, whatever comes over is what comes over. It's like there's people resources. There's lots of resources if you have questions. And I'm sure probably you do sometimes. I need clarification for this or.
And you can also go to the National Cancer Institute. And lots of times they'll tell you what all the research is showing.
Yeah, and there's always new data coming in from there. So, you know, it's not like you're using data that's 20 years old. I mean, data, a lot of the things that are, oh, how do I say this? Things are progressing rapidly, and there's a lot of new information that's available, and you're up to speed and up to date on all the latest information, and not just, you know, well, we did this in 1994, so we'll still call this
Yeah.
valid.
Well, and you know, holistic people, you know, they do it a different way than we do it. And I love their policies because they're going to die before the rest of us.
Yeah.
Because they a lot of times they will take no medication.
Ooh.
They won't listen to science about the operations that are available, what all we can do for them.
Yeah.
So it does make them go faster than we're going to go.
For somebody who is maybe they're in their I don't know. Maybe they don't know where they are in their investment career. And they're like, I'm maybe 5 years away from retirement, but I don't know which way should I go. Should I go towards life settlements or should I do annuities or what kind
They
of.
need to be talking to me.
Okay.
If it's only 5 years, we need to be discussing it, see where they're at now. Are you on a safety plane? Are you on a deep dive? Are you level? You know, where are you at? What are you making? Are you making a lot of money? If you're not, we need to talk.
Yeah. I would imagine probably, and I know you have investors that do both life settlements and annuities, but
That's
for the
right.
most part, generally speaking, just so that people have some kind of a basic idea, which one is recommended for different investors? If you can even, you know, classify
If
that.
you're 70, 75, I would probably be in annuities.
Okay.
Or at least part, like 60-40.
Okay. All right. And that's because of the consistency of annuities?
Yes. Well, that, and as you get older, it's a piece of cake, to manage it.
Okay. All right. And then with life settlements, we have an idea of when the policy will mature, but it's not something you can put on a calendar and say on
No,
this
it's not
date.
written in stone. And if they need income, like every 12 months, we would need to put some cash back. But if they don't, then a life settlement would be fine if they can go 2 years or 3 years.
I know we bring this up a lot because I just find it the story so fascinating about the lady who has the annuity and has had it for what was it 20 years?
Yes, she's had 20 years. It's an IRA, and she was taking monthly RMDs out of it all these years because it was almost time to retire when we did this. And she now has 104,000, and that's what she started with. So it's paid off pretty darn well.
Yeah, it's kept its value and she's used money out of it, but she was smart. She took what, 3-4%, I would imagine, something like that.
That's right. And she never took more than she needed. And now she's went to a rest home and her husband's wondering how to pay for it. And he realized that she had an IRA at work with me. And then so he called and asked how much was left. When I told him 104, he was shocked,
Yeah,
absolutely shocked.
I'm shocked. It's just, just to hear that, this person has had the annuity for 2 decades, and it's still got the same amount in it, and she's been using money from it. It's just it's I guess it just goes to show that if you play your cards smart, I mean, if you take the full 10% every year from an annuity, of course it's not going to maintain that value most likely. But if you're smart, take 3 or 4%, not only will you have plenty of cash that you can use from it, but it's still in the background, growing, holding its value, and it's just not, it doesn't hemorrhage cash, I guess is what I'm saying, if you do it, if you do it the smart way. I don't know. Annuities are great on so many levels. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So, what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about Deep East Texas, Piney Woods, Palestine, Texas.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a city in deep seed. Excuse me, the seat of Anderson County, U.S. state of Texas. It was named after Palestine, Illinois, by a preacher, Daniel Parker.
That's weird.
Yeah, he was from Illinois. He came to Texas and got him to name it Palestine after Palestine, Illinois. I was shocked.
Wow. Nothing like bringing your past into the present.
That's right. And he was a preacher, Pilgrim Church. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Now, in 2020, they had a population of 18,000, making it the sixth largest East Texas master party. Okay. So 18,000 made it the sixth largest town in East Texas, in the Piney Woods.
Neat.
And it's notable for its natural environment. It has all those dogwood trails we've done every year, and they have 23 historical sites on the National Register. Can you believe
Really?
that?
23?
23, that's how old this place is. And then historic places, and then these people got rich, and they started building those mansions, and people go and tour those beautiful mansions there. Then the other thing happened, the steam and diesel railroads came to town, and it's operated for years and years, and now it's a state park. And they take tourists on that old steam and diesel engine between Palestine in Rust, Texas. And people wonder who lived there first. Well, the Coushatta Indian tribe. They occupied this area for thousands of years before the Europeans came. Can you believe that?
Wow, thousands of years?
Yeah, thousands.
Jeez.
And during the years of the Spanish and Mexican control, major parts of the Southwest, which became East Texas. So first the Indians came, then the Europeans, then the Spanish and the Mexicans came. So a lot of different people have ruled East Texas.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, Palestine is regarded as the Ziggy capital of the world. The Ziggy capital. It's the home to Elijah Ziegler. And that was his birthplace, is Palestine. So they call it the Ziggy capital of the world.
Nice.
Now, a trading post was established there by the Anglo-Americans back in 1843.
Oh, wow.
And then the legislator incorporated Palestine to serve as a seat in the newly established Anderson County. And the city, as I said, was named after that, Palestine, Illinois. And it, in 1856, it had a population of over 2,000. And a lot of our little towns never had that. You know, they'd have 200, 150. You know, they didn't have that kind of population.
Wow. That's a lot for back then.
It was a lot for back then. And then the county courthouses, they've built four courthouses there. And the fourth one is still in use. In 1914, they completed the fourth one.
Did they need four courthouses?
I don't know, but they've built four different ones. And that one is still in use from 1914 in Palestine. And then the other historical site is the Sacred Heart Catholic Church. And it's a historical site. Then they discovered oil in 1928 in Boggy Creek. That was just east of Palestine. And the oil resources added to the diversified city and economy down there. And it became a center for oil well servicing companies. So not only did they have some oil themselves, but then they started doing all the service work on all the oil wells.
Nice.
And then they built the Blackman Crossing Dam on the Neches River, creating Lake Palestine as a reliable source of water. It became in 1966, completed in 1962, and it supplies a huge amount of water every day.
Wow.
Yeah, I believe it's 25 million.
Oh, my
gallons.
Word. Oh, yeah. Wow. Ooh, when you said a large amount of water, I didn't realize that much.
Well, the lake is 25,000 acres.
Oh, my word.
And, you know, they have all kinds of fish there. They have all that. But the water district that they created for the 25 million gallons of water per day is served by a channel dam. And then they've got all the pipelines running through there and a water treatment plant. They've done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, clearly. My
and
word.
Then, of course, do you remember the spaceship that crashed?
Which one? I'm trying to think.
Columbia.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And they found all these debris there. They found all the parts, and they gathered them all up, and they retrieved them from other East Texas places also.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's where the part. That's I don't know
right.
how to phrase it in a respectful way.
That's right. And there were seven astronauts, as you know, were killed. That was November 15th, 2015.
Jeez. I when you say it like that, it was just like getting hit in the face with a brick. It's just, wow. Just, you don't think about.
Yeah, I may be wrong on that date, but 40% of the debris was found there in East Texas, several East Texas towns found debris there.
Wow.
And since then, NASA has that Columbia Scientific Balloon facility, and in honor of the astronauts, they renamed it. It's flown 1,700 high-altitude balloons for universities and research agencies.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
It really is.
Hmm.
So it's an interesting place. And, of course, that lake, that 25 million gallons of water per day is outstanding, that lake has provided that. And then they built that big dam, and they've increased it since.
Yeah. It just seems like, I don't know, between the oil and then the dam, it seems like they've got some natural resources revenue streams. Is that?
Yeah, they do. And then people come to see all the historical homes. They come to see the Dogwood Trail every year, mm-hmm. which is really impressive. There's miles of it. And so, you know, it's a beautiful old city. Got a lot going on for it. I think the mansions are worth going to see.
Oh.
And then go to Lake Palestine for all your fishing, to look at the dam. It's got a lot of things going on.
And you can tour those mansions, right? I mean, those are...
Yes, you can. You can tour every one of them. And then that Sacred Heart Church, the Catholic Church, it's on the historical register. Hmm. And that courthouse is. It was from 1914, and it's still being used.
Yeah. I love to see all those old architecture things, the old buildings, houses, courthouses, churches. I know we've talked about, you know, a lot of the fabulous churches that have been built, you know, in other parts of Texas, you know, with all the stained glass.
The painted churches, which I'm in love with.
Yes, yes.
And they are fabulous. And there's two or three of those they do not let you go through. And a member of my family this last year got him to let her tour those.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty cool, because those are off limits.
Cool. And then she made several pictures for me, and they're gorgeous, gorgeous. Those people were so talented back then. My gosh, we've lost all that. You know, the people came from Germany and Sweden and Switzerland, all those countries, and they knew how to build.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They could design anything. They were fabulous. And we've lost that in this country.
Mm-hmm. They were so ornate and just...
They are ornate. And people forget that all these people came from Europe to America. And, of course, the Indians came first. And we've had every kind of Indian tribe. And they lost a lot of their land. But they did some great things, too.
Yeah. I mean, to have Indians on the land for thousands of years before.
Before we ever got here.
Yeah, yeah, long before. And then we showed up, and they're like, who are these people?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
You know, all these Americans, you know, new Americans.
Yeah.
They started designing towns, and there was 24 blocks in Palestine that they blocked off for lots and houses and businesses. That's all they had was 24 lots when they started. I mean, you know.
Wow. And I don't want to say it's exploded, but it's expanded.
It's expanded. And, you know, they started off not long after they started. They had 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're so smart.
Yeah.
You know, and all those old houses. Somebody really knew how to design those old mansions. And the courthouse. Look at that. That's the fourth courthouse from 1914.
And still being used.
So they
used.
Had great craftsmen. Yeah. They're still using it.
Wow.
And I think they've got more historical buildings than anybody I've run into.
Yeah, I can't.
24 is a lot.
It is. It is a lot. And it's just, you know, the influence from the Europeans and then the Spanish that came in, I would imagine probably they're architecturally fascinating to see the different, you know, influences that are embedded in the buildings and the homes and the mansions and stuff.
and a think of all the different people that lived there.
Oh,
you know, the Indians first, and the Coushatta Indians, then the Europeans came. I mean, we're way behind on all that. We were way out on all this, coming to the United States, coming to Texas.
Yeah, we are way behind. So that's going to be, I guess, another trip this summer, too, to Palestine,
Texas. I think
it
should be, yes.
Yeah.
Palestine and the Dogwoods, they'll be over pretty soon. But all this other is wonderful. It's a part of our history we should see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, I don't know that I've ever heard of a town being named after another town in another state.
So. That's right. I thought it was funny, you know, that this preacher named it after Palestine, Illinois.
Yeah.
What? And, you know, Illinois was settled a long, long time before all this happened also.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an old city.
It is.
Old state.
I like these old stories about how towns got started. I mean, even when, you know, 1856 with, what was it, 2,000 people, you know, and to, I guess, expand out into what they have and do what they've done, it's kind of neat, you know. It's into
well, how about the fact that, and I don't know if I even mentioned this, they have one of the few railroad refurbishing cars in the whole world.
Ooh.
They refurbish all your railroad cars there.
Oh, my word.
Now, yeah.
I know that railroad, like train trips, are really, really cool, especially if you can get like an old historic type of train. Those are
That's
really
right.
fascinating. I mean, it's one thing to take an Amtrak, you know, it's fine. But if you get an old restored train car for like a one of those tours, that would be fascinating. I just,
well, and,
cool.
And they do have that one that runs from Palestine and Rust, Texas. And it's the old steam engine.
Ooh.
I mean, and it's a park. They made that place a park.
That's awesome. That is really cool. I mean, that's... There's something to see. I mean, there's just to see the historical things that we have in Texas is really, really cool. A lot of things
that's
have been
right.
torn down around the country and, you know, replaced with new and modern and fancy. And that's fine and that's good. You know, progress, you know, you need progress. But to be able to see some of these old buildings like this, you know, especially courthouse from 1914 that's still being used, and all these old mansions with all the craftsmanship that go into these things, it's fascinating that these things are still preserved and that they're in some cases even still being used. So definitely.
And every day I'm reading about small towns that they tie out all the old restaurants.
Oh.
And I just can't get over that. I want to eat at every one of them.
I know it. Yeah. I want to get out and experience everything. And there's not enough time
well,
in 10
lifetimes.
All
our new fancy restaurants are good. But, you know, when you have those old people cooking that have been doing it for 30 years, they know how to do it.
Yeah.
They can make that gravy walk and talk.
Oh, yeah. And you know that those old-timey recipes, those are family recipes that have passed down for probably generations, I would imagine. So,
yeah, woo. And there was a story about Colonel Sanders the other day. He said the one thing that after he sold his, you know, franchise, the whole deal, that he was upset about is they couldn't make gravy. He said they were using water and everything else in that gravy. And he told them what he thought.
Ooh.
And a lot of other people said, well, it's not as good as it used to be, but it's okay. But see, the older generation, they wanted it to be real. They made it from scratch.
Oh, yeah.
None of this fancy stuff out of a package.
No, there were no mixes in a pouch or anything.
Did
like
you know that.
That
a lot of your big charities and big organizations, when they have a banquet, the potatoes come out of a bag and they mix them and put them on the stove. Your gravy comes out of a bag. A lot of that stuff is brought to them in a bag to save time.
Oh, wow.
And they make it from there. It's not made from scratch.
Oh no, that's disappointing.
I know more than I should.
I know. That's not a good fact to share.
That's right. Oh, I hope nobody complains about me saying that.
Well, we'll just pretend you didn't say it.
Okay, I didn't really say it.
There we go.
Didn't mean it.
No.
There you go.
It was pretend. Pretend you didn't hear anything.
It was somebody impersonating me, if you want to know the truth.
There you go. See? It's a plausible explanation. We're done.
That's right. It'll work.
It will. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. I hope everybody's using the research on our website.
Yeah, there is a ton of information. We don't even really scratch the surface for everything.
No, we don't even go through all that.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there is a ton. So anybody that's looking to, you know, retire or just want some more information, there's a ton of stuff on there. So it is a good resource. Before we wrap, when we were talking about life settlements, I don't think we ran through the risks or the accreditation.
We
thing.
Did not. First, you must be accredited. To be accredited, you must either make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without the house. Now then, the other risk is you cannot get your money until it matures. In other words, when the person dies, you get paid. The other risk is the premium. You need to always know what the premium is going in. And we always tell you, and it's in writing.
Yeah.
We put everything in writing that you need to know about or that you're going to ask questions about.
And that's the thing I think a lot of people like about life settlements is not only is it a great conservative investment, but when we talk about, you know, it's so well informed and there's so much information, not only is it just about the policy itself, but people know, you know, okay, these are the federal guidelines and here's what's going to happen and here's how it works. And when a policy matures, you're going to get this and it's going to go here and then it'll be paid. And I mean, it's all very well laid out. There's not much room for any guesswork or, you know, anything like that. So it is. And people know all the risks and accreditation and all that going in into a life settlement. So it's really a well-informed investment. All right. So one last time, Faye, for people to come get started or if they just want some more information, they do need to call and make an appointment. So one last time, what is your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.